Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
News Nation national security contributor and former Air Force Assistant Vice Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Richard Newton. Lieutenant General, good morning. Let's talk a little bit about the flap over those texts sent ahead of the U.S. airstrikes on Yemen. You've been in sensitive top secret meetings. Aren't you required many times to just leave your phone behind because information is that sensitive?
Absolutely. In fact, in my office in the Pentagon, my staff would ask visitors just to leave their phones or whatever handhelds they had actually outside my my office area because it was a secure area, not only from a security, physical security standpoint, but also from, you know, communications. This is an incredible breach of security, Bob, in my view. And frankly, I've never seen anything like it. Especially having operational, very sensitive operational discussions at the highest levels, you know, regarding, you know, what we're going to then turn out to be U.S. military operations. All of these discussions, especially the sensitive aspect of the current operations being discussed on Signal, which is a commercial unclassified, you know, communication system, all of these should have been held in a highly classified area or system. I could carry classified phone systems and other systems so that I could have those conversations with either the folks who worked for me or intent if I had to participate in these sensitive discussions if I wasn't either in the Pentagon or the White House. So, yeah, this is a major breach of security.
So you are referring to the information here is definitely classified or should have been classified. And are you saying they shouldn't have even been using the Signal app?
Yes, both cases. Again, I'm not going to, you know, I don't have access to, you know, specific classified information and so forth. But I presume just the sensitivity nature of the dialogue that we've seen in the press that Jeffrey Goldberg published, that in and of itself is what I would consider highly sensitive information for a couple reasons. Number one, the scope of the information being discussed, but also at the particular level. You've got the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz. You've got Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and you've got Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. And by the way, just as an aside, I've been very impressed with that national security team to date. Very impressed with what the President Trump administration have done thus far with regard to U.S. national security. And you and I've talked for many hours, literally seems like on what been able to accomplish, but this is a breach of, again, not only the nature of the information being discussed, but who is discussing it, and that being out in an open form, such as, although it is encrypted, but it's not under U.S. national security classified network.
If someone by mistake has a phone number on an outgoing sensitive message that shouldn't be there, what's the safeguard to catch it before it's too late? What should have happened in this case? All right, a mistake is made. Shouldn't there be some other eyes on this?
There should have been. You know, had very few people literally on this chat group, but it wasn't delegated to, you know, either a communication or a technical expert to do what you just said. And Mike Waltz, the National Security Advisor, who I, again, think highly of, he said last night on air that, and it's been reported, there will be an investigation by the National Security Council staff to find out exactly what happened, as well as to prevent this from ever happening again. I can guarantee you that you won't see either senior principals, such as the Secretary of State or Secretary of Defense or the Director of National Intelligence or others, using Signal to communicate amongst themselves, nor will you see having this level of communications, which is necessary nearly 24/7, Bob. That's going to be handled, what I'm very used to, and actually when I oversaw the National Military Command Center, I'm very familiar with these highly classified U.S. national security networks. That's what they're there for. And I think that's that's going to be obviously them moving forward.
Before we let you go, let me get your quick take on what's happening with the war in Ukraine. Moscow setting some far-reaching conditions for implementing a U.S. brokered Black Sea ceasefire. Ukraine has agreed to a ceasefire now. Russia wants underlying issues resolved before any ceasefire starts. That's a big stumbling block. What I'm curious about is what has happened in the Black Sea. How does this, what's being talked about now with the stopping action in the Black Sea, how does this help Ukraine? Because haven't they sunk Russian ships there and had the upper hand? Haven't they done very well against Russia in the Black Sea? Doesn't this help Russia more than Ukraine?
Yeah, they've been very effective with a small, if almost a non-existent navy. I'm talking about Ukraine. What they've done against the Russian fleet in the Black Sea has been remarkable. However, apparently the United States, Ukraine, and Russia delegations have reached some agreements for what we would call temporary ceasefires on strikes against energy infrastructure in the Black Sea. It may not necessarily be, what Ukraine wanted to achieve and what the United States is wanting to achieve is at least start with a temporary ceasefire of some ilk here, and that's now against any energy infrastructure in the Black Sea. The details, however, Bob, remain still unclear. Certainly unclear to me. And if you want to evaluate the ceasefires and the specifics, we have yet to see officially published joint texts of the agreements and so forth. But it's a start. But the bottom line is that Putin, again, he is not going to, he is going to be relentless in pursuing the destruction of the topple of Zelensky in Ukraine. I don't see really he is not going to be, even if he signs on to a ceasefire, a temporary ceasefire. I don't see him really observing that ceasefire. He doesn't want a long-term peace settlement whereby Ukraine is actually allowed to remain a sovereign nation. And frankly, they're shunning their, they've got very little respect to the United States, in my view, in terms of how these discussions have been ongoing. But nonetheless, our president, again, is moving forward, and I support him doing this. To trying to come up with a ceasefire, temporary it is in the Black Sea. That's a start, Bob. And then you're going to talk about a ceasefire along that 600-mile land, where the line of troops are in eastern Ukraine and western Russia. And then you'll go into permanent peace agreements. We're not weeks away, not months. I think we're at least into a year to make that happen. But the bottom line is, Putin, I believe, will not walk off his high demands, and his bottom line is to continue to achieve domination and certainly victory over Ukraine and actually bring Ukraine back into the fold of Russia.
It does sound like we're a long way away from any peace in the area. Lieutenant General Richard Newton, always appreciate your expertise, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning.